Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Get into a centered place. We're going to breathe in through our nose, breathe out through our mouth. Spirit and breath in the scriptures are used interchangeably. Meditation and breathing exercises. Oh, you're in Rome. Oh, okay. Breathing exercises that will bring you relaxation. But meditation, breathing exercises are very spiritual. Jesus meditated. You know all this, but sometimes I have new listeners who may not know that, so I want to be aware of them. In through the nose, hold it long as you can, out through the mouth. I relax on that first breath. In through the nose, hold it, out through the mouth. Inhale, hold, exhale. Give me another one, it's four. Hold it, exhale. Let's do seven. Here comes five. Here's six. And here's seven. Beautiful. I love doing that. I already feel relaxed and centered, and I immediately feel my blood pressure come down. Hey, Rhonda. I immediately feel relaxed, and it's a beautiful day up here on this roof in my beautiful city that I love so much. And I'm at peace. I have peace. I am peace. You know what comes next? I am. If you don't understand the affirmations, go back and listen. Thank you, Russ. Go back and listen to what I talked about last Sunday. I think it's real important to sort of clarify what the I am affirmations are and what it means when you say that you're God or a part of God or that you're divine. And not to be afraid of that. There's nothing blasphemous about that. As a matter of fact, that's what you were created to do and say, hey, Deidre, that's what you were created to do. The Elohim says, let us make people in our image and let them have dominion. Let them have divinity. Let them have sovereignty. Hey, Romanita, from Queens, you're hometown. Anyway, most of y'all know that. Yes, I have joy. Jeffrey, I am joy. I am. The I am is the highest one you can make. And there's something about combining the breathing with the affirmations. Yes, I think I did not say that. John and Jason live in Asheville, North Carolina. They, you know, that big house they call Biltmore House. That's actually where they live. No, it's not. But they do live close to there. Hey, Cheryl. And it's a beautiful area. I love it up there. So anyway, Jason, hope you have a great birthday. Birthday blessings to you. And to anybody else that might be your birthday today. I texted Ryan Klesko this morning. Today is his 50th birthday. He texted right back. We're still in communication with each other. That was nice to hear from him. So birthday blessings on everybody, but just Sunday blessings on everybody. Okay, several things I want to tell you. First of all, next Sunday, I will not be streaming from Metron. I'm speaking at the Movement Church there in Covington. That's, for those of you that don't know, that's my son Judah's church. And their service is at 11 o'clock. I've invited, and he's invited, they've invited the Metron community. So if Metron people that are in the area there, or even if you're not in the area, please come join us. I'm very honored that he asked me to come there and speak. It's an act of bravery for him to do that because, you know, I punch a lot of buttons for some of people that would be his audience. And so I appreciate that he's invited me to share Father's Day with him. So that's that. They do stream. I believe they stream live. And so if you can't make it, you can stream. Go to his Facebook page or even the movement page. You can figure out how to do that. And I'll tell you this: for those of you that know me from the Conyers Covington area, and it's hundreds of you who have told me this in the last 7 years. Oh, if we could just ever hear you preach again, if we could just ever hear you preach. And I always say, I preach every Sunday. I've never even taken a week off. And but I do in Atlanta, and people out there, Rockdale, Newton County, will say to me, oh, no, we couldn't drive to Atlanta, no. So I gave up that argument a long time ago. So what I'm telling you is I'm going to be in your neighborhood next weekend. So for all of you that have told me that for so many years, you'd love to hear me, but you can't drive that far, or you're afraid of Atlanta for whatever reason, I'm going to be right around the corner from you. So I'd love to see you. And I've got to deliver some paintings to some people, so I will have your paintings and deliver those. I think I got a commission from a woman in Starbucks one day this week. I was standing behind her, and she had a logo on the back of her t-shirt that looked like something I had painted. And so I said, excuse me. I said, I'm a painter, and I want to show you something that I painted. She couldn't believe it. I said, it looks so much like what's on your shirt. And Roz, it was the one I did of the hands for your niece. And she said, oh my, she was from out of state, from Nebraska, I think. She said, do you have a card or something? I'd like to commission something. So I showed her my Jim Swilly Art Instagram account. I thought, well, that's cool. Getting out-of-state commissions. Only problem with out-of-state is mailing them. Shipping is kind of a hassle, especially for big pieces. You end up, sometimes the shipping costs more than what I charge for the painting. So that's why I've got a stack of them that have already been purchased that are in my loft that I just haven't delivered them to the people yet because they live out of state or whatever. So that is next Sunday, June 20th, Father's Day. I will be at the movement, so I will not be streaming here. Then on Saturday, July 3rd, we're going out to Eatonton to the bridge at Bay Creek. And I went out there this week. I had to deliver some paintings out there. And I went out to, that's Robert Rutherford's property, his and Robbie Joe. And went out there and he showed me what we're going to do out there is so cool. We've never done anything like this at Metron. We've done 10 meditation weekends. This is a meditation clinic and workshop that's going to be entirely different. And what he's doing, Robert is so innovative. And there's a synergy that happens when he and I do things together that's always very special. He has set up these stations that you walk through, and it's a wooded area. It's not dangerous. It's he had workers out there that were clearing the path. So, I mean, you have to watch where you step, but it's very wide, well-lit paths. It's not deep into the woods, but it's that little wooded area that's right there by his chapel. And it's beautiful, and there's an area where we all end up together by the creek. And each station that you go to is a place where you stop, and there's a visual representation of an affirmation that you make at each one of them. It's going to be really cool. I told him, he had told me about it, and then I drove out there to see it. I said, Robert, this is going to become iconic. This is going to be like a place where people go when they need answers. They're going to go come to your property and walk through these stations and do these affirmations here in this wooded area, and it's going to be life-changing for them. So that is going to be Saturday, July 3rd. The 4th is Sunday, obviously. I haven't decided if I'm going to stream that day or not, so thank you, Doug. I appreciate that. Why don't you come be with us? You'd be a threefold cord. If we did that, Jesus himself might manifest. Well, he is going to manifest because we'll be there, and we are him now. But anyway, I haven't decided if I'm going to stream on 4th of July yet or not. I don't know. Ken and I, we might even run the Peachtree this year. Everything's different this year because of post-pandemic. We didn't run it last year. But anyway, so the third may be our week, our meeting for that week. And but we will definitely be out there. I'm saying 9 a.m. to noon because I want it to be cool. Temperature-wise. But if you can't be there right at 9, it's okay. Come on anyway, because we can. You can still go through the... It's the kind of thing that doesn't have to be... oh, cool, John. That'd be awesome. We'd love to have you guys. It's the kind of thing that it doesn't have to be on a time constraint. And they're going to serve us some lunch there. I'm going to send him some... He didn't ask for it and told me not to, but I'm going to send him some money for that, cover that. But if we go past noon, which it's very probable that we will, but let's say 9 to 12, and it's real easy to find. I GPS'd it when I went out there this week, and it took me right to it. So it's not off the grid. And the chapel is finished there. He's got beautiful restrooms that are adjacent to it. So if that's a deterrent for you not coming, then come on anyway. And like I said, this is not in competition with Meditation Weekend 11. If anything, it's going to enhance it. So that's July 3rd. Then on August the 1st, we're going to the theater, Landmark Midtown Theater, for Metron's 7th anniversary. We started Metron the first Sunday of August 2014. So this will be our 7th. Last year, we celebrated it at Driftwood Beach in Jekyll Island. But we're going to go to the theater at 11 o'clock. And the 7 is a very important number. So, hey, Brenda. So I really want you to show up for this. And I still haven't decided what the future is with the theater. I did go ahead because we have two... we've already paid for two rentals that we haven't used yet. So I went ahead and reserved the first Sunday of September also, which I believe is, I think is the 5th. And yes, that is Labor Day weekend. But unless something changes and I decide to go out of town, we're planning for that as well. But I'm getting out of sequence here. That's Sunday, August 1st, Metron's 7th anniversary at Landmark's Midtown Theater. It's the hippest little theater in the metro area. And then the following weekend, speaking of magical numbers, 11 is a very strong number as well. And we're having Meditation Weekend number 11 on St. Simon's Island. This will be the third one that we've done on St. Simon's. All the previous two have been amazing. That's going to be August the 7th and 8th. We already have a very large group going. It looks like number 11 is going to be the biggest crowd we've ever had to go for one, which I it's not that I care that much about that, but it's a good sign. And so we will do our sunset meditation on the 7th. We'll do our sunrise meditation on the 8th. If you're interested in going or just curious about it, I can put you on the messenger thread. And that's no obligation. It's just that's how we communicate. And it's a brilliant way to do it. So, and then, like I said, the plan is now we're going to go back to theater on September 9th. September 5th. It's the 9th month. So remember, June 20th, movement. July 3rd, the bridge at Bay Creek. August 1st, Metron's, oh good, Leslie, put you on. That's our 7th anniversary. And then August 7th and 8th is Meditation Weekend number 11. And I don't know what's going to happen. If I start seeing a bunch of 11-11s on the 11th Meditation Weekend, I don't know. It might be like that on that movie when Superman flew around the earth and made it turn backwards. I don't know. Something very cosmic could happen. Oh, good, Brenda. That's awesome. And Oh, that's right. Your birthday, August 8th, is also Jared's birthday. I think Jared's streaming. He's up in the Catskills. I think he's watching today too. But it's going to be just amazing, and I'm so jazzed about all the upcoming things. I'm very excited about them, and I know you are too. They're just awesome. I'm so grateful for everything. I did a little post yesterday. And it's one of the reasons I wanted to play Here Comes the Sun, but I think the algorithms messed up my streaming. You know, now that the world's sort of coming back to life, it reminds me of that last part of Our Town by Thornton Wilder, where he says that line, "Oh Earth, you're too wonderful for people to realize you." It's what he's saying to the woman who's already died. Like, when you come back and see all the stuff that you took for granted, it's even more special. And I have felt that way all week. I was able to go get my teeth cleaned. It's been over a year. It's been like a year and a half because of the way it worked out with the pandemic. And I mean, it was like going to Six Flags. I was so excited to, you know, like I didn't realize that I took good dental health for granted. And it was just, I just loved it. I mean, I had a great experience with the hygienist and with the dentist, and it was just a very positive experience. And then Friday night, Ken and I went to see a movie. We'd actually had gone to one a couple of weeks ago in Chattanooga, but it's the first time we've been to a movie on a Friday night in Atlanta. And it was like, that's something that we really love. And we went to see In the Heights, and it's amazing. It's the Broadway show that Lin-Manuel wrote before he did, Christy, it's like that. Pleasantville is what you're talking about, Seeing the Colors, yeah. And, but it was like, we're sitting in a theater, and we went to, Phipps Plaza's got those big, overstuffed recliners that you can sit in, and I'm like, we're in a theater, let's get popcorn. And with every kernel of popcorn, I was like, oh my God, I remember this popcorn in a theater. And I'm like, let's get Twizzlers. And so we shared Twizzlers, and then I got peanut M&Ms. Yes, we did, don't judge us. And it was just, I mean, I've always loved going to the movies, but it was just, oh my God, I'd missed it so much. I love watching stuff on streaming and everything, but there's nothing like going to a theater and sitting in the dark and having that experience and turning your phone off and just experiencing the whole thing. It was wonderful. And then yesterday we just had one of those kind of Saturdays that are actually kind of my favorite, when we don't have any place to go and there's just several things we want to do. Like, well, let's go over there, and we're out of, there's a kind of body wash that we like from Bath and Body Works. We're out of that. Let's go over there. We got a couple of candles and just knocking around. And he wanted to check out. I love them too, Byron, but I do have a tendency to go to sleep in them. And I did doze off a little bit. I get very relaxed in them. But no, I didn't. I love Raisinets, but I didn't have any the other night. I'm kind of in a peanut. I mean, I'm officially off sugar, but when I do just have a little bit, I'm kind of more of a peanut M&M guy right now, but if you buy me some Raisinets, I will not reject them because I do love them. But he wanted to go check out something at the Verizon store, and I said, yeah, go take your time. There's a big line. I said, take your time. I'm going to walk into Starbucks. And I went into the Starbucks that I go to mostly, and it's the first time they had opened up the tables. Like, people were sitting there and they were looking at their computers, and I was like, oh, my world is back. And it's like I sat down. It's not the first time I'd been in there, but it's the first time I'd sat in there. And I know that seems like a small thing, but that's something that I really enjoy. And I sat there in Starbucks and drank my favorite iced coffee, and it was like everything. I already appreciated the little things, but it's like right now they're so notched up, you know? And, so, you know, every time I get on an elevator or something, I've got on my screensaver, it's a picture of me holding up my vaccination card. So when I get on, because in my building, they still require it. And I am not anti-mask. I'm definitely not anti-vax. I wish everybody would get it. I'm tired of arguing with people about it. And it does not magnetize you and make keys stick to your head. That's just nonsense. that woman on that YouTube thing that keeps trying to show it, the key keeps falling off her. And even if it does stick to you, it just may mean that you're sticky. It doesn't mean that, it's just a vaccine. My God, y'all, this is the 21st century. Anyway, so I'm very appreciative of everything, and that's why I'm looking forward to these events, I look forward to them even more now. So anyway, that's all the announcements. This is what I want to share with you. I actually refer to this verse a lot. Yeah, she was sweaty. She was just, there was nothing, that woman's not magnetized. That's ridiculous. And that keys are not magnetic. Exactly. And that doctor that's speaking that, she's an anti-vaxxer from way back. She doesn't even think your children should get vaccinated for childhood diseases and stuff. So that's where she's coming from. There's no denying it. As the vaccines escalate, the numbers of COVID have come down. It's not rocket science. It's just, you know, just stop believing old wives' tales and nonsense theories. It's just lies. You should know better. I mean, you've got the Holy Spirit. You should know better. You should know when you hear something that's a lie. The Holy Spirit inside you should say, oh, no, that's not true. I'm not going to believe conspiracy theories. Anyway, I use this verse of scripture a lot. I want to use it again today. It came up yesterday in a, somebody needed to talk to me about something, and y'all, let me get on message. I can't, everybody's got jokes. Anyway, somebody called yesterday and they said they needed to talk, and they said, basically, I just needed to hear your voice. Even last night, I call my mom every night to check on her, and I had to talk her through a couple of things. And she said, because, you know, we're on different pages theologically, but she said, I understand why people like to talk to you, because I feel better after saying my thing to you and you telling me what you think about it. I said, I've done it all day today, and that's, you know, that's what I'm here to do. But The verse of scripture that I want to share is out of Romans chapter 12. And Romans 12 is kind of the Roman equivalent to 1 Corinthians 13. It's sort of, it's the Romans version of the love chapter. It's the one that starts out with, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And it's got some good theology. I mean, you gotta watch Paul, because Paul never read the Gospels, and so you really have to rightly, when you read Paul, you gotta rightly divide it and make sure that the bright light from heaven is speaking through him and not Moses via Gamaliel, the teacher that he learned under. You have to know how to read him. I love Paul. I don't agree with everything that he said. You say, well, All scripture is given by inspiration. I'm telling you, if Paul were standing here with me in his current state, he would say, no, that's what I said at that time. I moved on from that mindset. I mean, you could see it, if I tell you this nearly every week, but when you just read Paul's letters in chronological order, you can see the evolution. The man who said, I tell women to keep silence in the church, eventually said, in Christ is neither male nor female. That's why you have to understand, the Bible is not this static, monolithic book. Anybody that makes it into this book of rules and regulations, it is a doctrine of devils. It's a damnable, perverted, false doctrine that kills people. The letter kills. The International Standard Version says the written text kills, but the Spirit gives life. When you have a revelation from heaven and you lock it in and make a rule out of it, it's the same reason why manna could not be stored during the Exodus. As soon as it was stored, it was worm filled. It had lost its nutritional value. So you have to read things that men wrote thousands of years ago in the context of where they were at that time. That's what rightly dividing the word is. I can't think of a bigger sin than bibliolatry. It's the worst, the vilest, the most messed up, the most perverted, the worst, most degrading, perverted thing you can think of. Multiply that a million times, and that's what bibliolatry is. Because it takes the beautiful word of God and it turns it into this book of do's and don'ts, and it makes it say things that those writers were not saying, and they certainly wouldn't say now if they were here. When Moses appeared with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, he didn't have the tablets with him. He was Moses in the now. He wasn't Moses 6,000 years ago. So I love the scriptures, but I also know how to read them. Having said all that, and it's still important to say that, because I still read stuff that people will post on Facebook, and I think, my God, what dimension are you living in? You know, Jesus never talked about the end of the world. He talked about the end of an aeon, the end of an age, the end of Moses' law. But anyway, there is some good stuff in what we call Romans 12. When Paul wrote it, it wasn't delineated that way. But starting around the 17th verse till about the end of the chapter, which is verse 21, there's some just really good advice about relationships. And through that, all of that little chunk of verses, he says things like not repaying evil for evil and all that kind of stuff. And he says in verse 18, this is the one that I refer to a lot. In verse 18, he says, if it be possible, and that's a big if, but he says, if it be possible. King James says, live peaceably with all men. Better translations is, be at peace with everyone. Then in verse 19, he says, don't repay evil for evil. He actually says, take your hands off a situation and let God vindicate you. He said, for the Lord says, vengeance is mine. And, you know, that's kind of a heavy idea to think about God wreaking vengeance on somebody. I actually think what he's talking about is closer to what we would define karma. But anyway, in verse 21, he says, because of that, he says, love your enemies, do good to them that despitefully use you. He goes through all that stuff. He said, in so doing, you'll be heaping coals of fire on their head. And then he ends the chapter by saying, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. It's a great concept. And this isn't just, I'm protecting the anonymity of the person I said this to yesterday, because I've actually said this to several people recently. I say it a lot, just in general. You don't forgive people for their sake, you forgive people for your sake. And I can tell you this, because the conversation I was having with someone, and again, I'm not revealing anybody's identity, but the conversation I had with somebody was about them having been lied about. And they said to me, there's something so horrible to me when somebody says something about me that's not true. Their exact words is, it takes me to a dark place. And I said, well, that's a human response. Nobody likes to be lied about, but especially if you know you're a jerk, if you know you're, you know, a criminal, it doesn't matter to you what people say about you, probably. But if you really do try to do the right thing and you think of yourself as a good person, a person of integrity, and then someone doesn't see that or doesn't get that or says the opposite, it's particularly frustrating. And in this conversation, I said, that response is natural and normal. And you're not alone. Jesus was lied about. Nearly all the prophets were lied about. Joseph went to prison because Potiphar's wife lied and said that she had raped him. I mean, the Bible's full of people lying on each other. But I said, I have so many cases. I said, well, first of all, let me back up. I said, if you're going to be next level, if you're really going to be a spiritual person, you have to just go ahead and decide to be the bigger person in most cases. And it's not easy. But, and I cited a few examples, I said, I can tell you times in my life where I could have vindicated myself and defended myself, and I just took my hands off it. What I don't want to believe God did this to these people, but the people who were against me, what karma did to them was so extreme and so serious that I didn't even want to talk about it. I was like, oh my God, I didn't want that to happen. I mean, it made me very quiet and humble. And it's happened over and over and over and over again in my life. I mean, to the point, I've had people come against me that I wanted to say, look, I can survive whatever you're about to say to me because there's nothing you could say that hasn't been said and posted and blogged. I mean, you name it, I've heard it about me. But for your own safety's sake, I'm begging you, please don't do this, because you have no idea what's going to happen to you. And I see it happen over and over and over again. And I'm saying it with fear and trembling now, just even talking about it. I don't even share a lot of things that happen because it sounds manipulative, and it makes me just think, dear God, it makes me go back in my head and think, have I done anything to anybody? Because I sure don't want to start the cycle of bad karma to me either. But I shared this this experience with this person yesterday, and I've talked about this before, but when I was a kid, we never lived, for a few years we lived in a place in West Georgia. Stop the horn. For a block of time we lived there. I didn't live close enough. I said, stop it. Thank you. Anyway, bottom line is my dad drove me to school every morning, and I've never ridden the bus. And when we lived close enough to school, I walked to school. But when it was too far away, my dad always drove me. Well, there was one day my mom and dad were gone somewhere; they were out of town or something, and my mom told me, she said, today your dad or I, neither of us could pick you up. So what you're going to do is you're going to ride. She told me the number of the bus. There's a bus that goes to the home. There's some people in our church. I remember them clearly. This was like I was in third grade. The Davises. I remember their Bob and Helen Davis. And she said, the bus will let you out in front of the Davises' house. You ride the bus to their house. You get out, stay there until we can pick you up. It'll probably be around 6-7 o'clock. Okay, fine. That's no problem. This is an adventure. I don't mind riding the bus. And I loved going to their house and playing with their son, Randy, and the neighbor kids. And so, yeah, like, sure. So after school, I find the bus and I get on. And how did I get that horn to stop? I got skills. Anyway, so I get on the bus, and you know, I'm a little bit intimidated because I don't know any of these kids. I'm not exactly sure I'm on the right one, but I get on. I sit down. The next thing I know, the bus driver is standing there with this little girl who's crying, and the bus driver points her finger in my face. She says, "He the one?" And the little girl sobbing, "Yes, he's the one." And I'm like, "What? What?" I mean, there's no way to tell you how shocked I am at what I'm hearing. And this little girl, who I'd never seen before, said that I had knocked her books out of her hand, that I'd called her a name, that I'd shoved her, and did all this stuff that not only I had not done, I wouldn't even do something like that. That's not even in my character. And I said, "I think you have me confused with somebody else. That I didn't do that." And next thing I knew, all these faces are looking. It was kind of like in my memories, like they were through fish eye. You know, their faces were contorted. And the bus driver said, "Why are you even on this bus? This isn't the bus you ride." I said, "I know. My mom told me I was supposed to ride this bus to a house not far from here. It's somebody in my dad's church." And she says, "You're not even supposed to be on this bus, and don't you ever get on this again and on it again. And she put me out of the bus. I didn't even know where I was. And I watched the bus drive off. Somehow, I walked the however many miles it was to the Davis's house, and you know, I made it there. And for years afterward, I would think about that. And I you know, there's sometimes some things that happen that you think, oh, I know what happened. But on that one, to this day, I have no idea what that girl was talking about, why she said it, who she confused me with. It's like, it was one of the most mysterious things that ever happened to me. And it was troubling to me, because I used to think, am I like a multiple personality or something? Do I do stuff that I don't know that I do? Because, I mean, I'm telling you, I've never shoved anybody in my life and knocked somebody's books out of their hands. I mean, it's like it's not even in me to do something like that. And what I was saying to this person yesterday, I said, I know what you're dealing with is an adult situation. I said, but it's the same kind of thing, because I'm not only am I scared that these strangers are accusing me of something I didn't do, there's also something in you that wants to say, not only did I not do that, you don't even know who I am. I'm not even capable of doing something like that. That's not even in my character. You not only don't know me, you don't know me. And what I said to this person yesterday, I said I had to change the narrative in my head, because that was a very troubling memory for me. I mean, people have had much worse childhood trauma, but it was just, the whole thing was so weird and unsettling, and I never got an answer for it. Had no idea what happened or why I got put out of the bus. And I'm just this kid walking around, you know, trying to find these people's house. You know, I'm 8, 9 years old? So one day I remember thinking, I've got to rethink this memory. And so I thought, I'm gonna turn this around to a teachable moment. And instead of seeing myself as the victim in this story, I'm gonna see myself as the guy that survived it. Like, you lied about me, I got kicked off the bus, I still found my way to the Davis's house, I was fine. I went to school the next day, it did not traumatize me. I rode on buses since then, I wasn't afraid to ride. I mean, it didn't, if anything, it just made me stronger. I think, well, people can lie about me and I'll still be okay. I mean, the world will still vindicate me. And as I was saying this person, I said, you're gonna have to choose what you wanna do. You can either take things into your own hands and constantly vindicate yourself, or you can just take your hands off it and say, look, I believe that the arc of the moral universe bends towards justice, and I will be proved in the right, and it may take longer than I would like for it to. Like, in some cases, I've been proven right so far after the thing that I thought, it didn't even matter now, I don't even care now. But the point of saying that is, When Paul says, if it be possible, live peaceable with all people, I want to take that concept and broaden it and say, if it be possible, live peaceably, not only with all people that you meet, but all people who are in your memory, all people who are in your ancestry, all people. I would even take it so far as to say, live peaceably with all things. Live peaceably with everything that has happened to you. And let me explain this. Living peaceably with somebody doesn't mean you approve of what they do, you like what they do, you can put up with what they do. It's interesting. I happen to know somebody that blocked somebody else that I know on Facebook recently. And the person who blocked them believes in the doctrine of inclusion. And the person who was blocked, you know, keeps a lot of stuff stirred up on Facebook. That's kind of, they're just combative in nature. And this person was saying, well, that's really funny. This person supposedly believes in inclusion, and yet they blocked me on Facebook. And I thought, I don't think you understand what inclusion is. This person who blocked you is not saying you're a bad person, is not saying God doesn't love you. They're certainly not saying you're going to hell. They're just saying they don't want to look at what you post on Facebook. That has nothing to do with inclusion. Like, people get things twisted and conflated. Like, when Paul said live peaceably with all people, like I've told you before, I've got close to 2,000 people blocked on Facebook. It's not that people post the same thing over and over and over again about stuff that I've already said. I'm 49 years into the ministry, and people want to post a verse of scripture to me that I've preached 1,000 times, like I've never heard that. I'm like, I don't have time for it. It's like telling the kids to be quiet in their room. Like, I don't think you're a bad person. I just don't want to see your nonsense. And especially if you disrespect my page, because I don't disrespect yours. I never, ever, ever, ever go on somebody else's page and pick a fight with them. Never have, never will. So I feel like if somebody tries to do it with me, I'm like, no, you have forfeited the right to have access to me. You don't get to write on my public page. I have people that read my stuff all over the world. You don't get to be a voice in my life. It doesn't mean I hate you. It doesn't mean I think your life doesn't matter. It just means I'm cutting off access. This to me is an act of grace, because you're trying to suck me into your weird vortex of wanting to contend with me about stuff. And I don't care what you think. And I'm going to show you that I don't care what you think by blocking you. And you're a good person. Go rant about this kind of stuff to other people. I'm not your guy. You don't get to talk to me that way. It's not that I'm touchy or fretful or get my feelings hurt. It's that, no, you, respect is very important to me. And if you disrespect me, I'm like, no, you've lost your privileges. No. And I've had people who will apologize and say I was out of line. I think, okay, I'll forgive you. But if you still are doubling down on your stuff, like, no, well, then you'll just stay blocked until the end of time. You know, it's too bad you're missing out on a lot of great content, because my page is fabulous. I mean, it's too bad you're not going to get to see it. And my point in saying that is living peaceably with all people doesn't mean you just forgive everybody for their sake and condone what they do. Forgiveness, nearly 9 times out of 10, is for your sake. It's not for the other person's sake. I mean, I know I say this all the time, but I'm telling you, another thing I said to this person yesterday, I said, if this thing has happened, then shift the energy. And instead of trying to, I'm going to move a little bit. Instead of trying to vindicate yourself, go higher. Great concept. Go higher and say, I'm not going to try to vindicate myself to you. I'm going to let God or the universe or whatever you believe in, you know, it cracks me up. And they're so angry about it. It's like, okay, you know, people are like, Jesus is coming soon. I'm like, oh, okay, baby, good. You're supposed to lift up your head and rejoice if that's what you believe, not cuss me out, but okay. When people want to argue about things like that, I think you kind of missed the point. But anyway, you just got to love them. You just got to love them, Paul. Where is that from? Andy Griffith Show? Anyway, what I said to them, I said, you know, not only have I been vindicated, I know this is clicking on and off. I have no control over, well, maybe I do. Please do not click off anymore until I finish saying this. I'm nearly through anyway. I just allow good things to come to me because I took the high road. Because I refuse to vindicate myself. I mean, I've had preachers that I know are closeted gay men go publicly and rebuke me for being gay. And I know men they've slept with. And these are men who have said, why don't you just out them? Why don't you just out them? I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm never going to out anybody. I leave that stuff up to karma. And one after another, what has happened to them has been so extreme that I'm like, oh my God, I didn't mean for this to end with you dying of stomach cancer or blowing your brains out like that. I didn't want that to happen. But I'm also glad I didn't take things into my own hands. And I also put it out there to say, because I have taken the high road, because I have turned the other cheek, because I have gone high when they go low, then I'm not going to let this angel go until it blesses me. Because this thing has happened, that may have hurt my feelings or may have whatever, but I went high. Because of that, I'm putting it out there. I want to get some blessings for this. I want some, I want a little payoff for doing the right thing. And it always happens when you put it out there. I'll just get these little, it's like having a little magic wand hit my head several times a day. Bring, like, there's another good thing and another good thing and another good thing. When somebody says, "Wow, you're so lucky," I'm like, "No, I'm not lucky. I just flood the quantum field with good stuff, and I start the cycle of blessing. I keep it going. I don't break it with interjecting cursing into it. I bless, and I think, well, I bless those that bless me, and blessing just keeps happening and keeps happening and keeps happening. I don't even tell you the times that people, sometimes I'll post a screenshot of it, but I don't want it to look like I'm trying to do telethon on TBN or something. It's like, but I have people, about once a week, somebody will say, "I just want to tell you, I sent you this offering, and within 6 hours, I got this check in the mail, or I got this thing," or whatever. It could be random events. It might not be connected. It might be their own, some kind of bias. The bias when you want something to happen and you see it happen. Maybe that is. I don't know. But I do know Paul also told the Philippians, he says, "You have more need to give than I do to receive. The fruit may abound to your account." So when people think, "Oh, you're just lucky and you live a charmed life," I'm like, no, I put a lot of good stuff out there. And I'm reaping stuff now from things that happened years ago. I mean, I've been putting good stuff out there for a long, long time. And covering for people and forgiving people and forgiving enemies and turning the other cheek and moving on. So I know for the rest of my life, I'll always be blessed. I'll always have money. I'll always have the life that I want. I mean, I have charged the atmosphere so much with good. I've overcome so much evil with so much good that for the rest of my, like, I honestly believe I haven't even gotten to the good part yet. I haven't gotten my 60s have been so much better than my 50s that I think, wow, I'm just gonna reinvent the 70s then. Maybe when I turn 70 in a few years, it's gonna be a whole nother thing, you know, because that cycle of good, it's like it becomes exponentially, it's like a snowball effect. And the good just starts coming faster and faster and faster and faster. It's like in the Old Testament where there's phraseology like you'll be overtaken with blessings. You'll be run down with blessings. Blessings in the city, blessings in the country, blessings in the basket, blessings in the store. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Your enemies will come up before you one way and flee before you seven. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You'll be above only and not beneath. Like that becomes such a lifestyle that if something looks like it's not going to turn out good, like even an hour ago, it was starting to rain. Now I got beautiful skies. It's perfect up here. And if it had rained, it would have been fine. I would have gone inside, whatever. But what I'm saying is you live in it so much that if the good isn't manifesting yet, you just say, "Well, give it a minute." And I'm not gonna get my fingerprints all over it and make it, you know, mess it up. And if somebody needs to learn something from karma and from sowing and reaping, maybe that's a bitter lesson they need to learn. So I'm just going to take my hands off it. And you just learn to live in a different thing. So when somebody comes at you with a certain kind of energy, you're like, "I don't do that. You can't pull me into that." For me, when I look at scriptures like a soft answer turns away wrath or turn the other cheek, I don't see that as a sign of weakness. I see that as when a little chicken is clucking at me, I say, "No, I'm an eagle. I don't live in your chicken coop world where you're, you know, walking around in your own feces. I'm an eagle. I soar up above it all. I soar above the weather." And even if you're tempted to come down and be a chicken for a minute, you got to remember who you are. Get back up there, you know, seated in heavenly places. So I would say even people that did damage to you, go back and rethink them. Rethink their story, the story of them. Just like I rethought the story of that weird day on the bus that for a third grader was kind of traumatic. Now I look back and think, I'm invincible. Change the narrative of your stories. Edit them. It's like, obviously, we live, Ken and I live very out loud, and we post a lot on Facebook and Instagram, and I love that. I never make any apology for it. And somebody last week, I'd posted some picture, and somebody said, "Now you really think you're cute, don't you?" And I thought, I'm going to have to block you on that, because that seems a little disrespectful. Block. Like, you can't. No, I would never say that on your page. So, bye-bye. And because I celebrate with other people, and other people have lost weight or something, they post a picture, I'm the first one to say, "Oh man, you look great, you know, keep it up," whatever. But sometimes people will say to Ken and me, they say, "Do y'all ever take a bad picture?" I'm like, "Yeah, we just don't post them on the World Wide Web." You know, when people, you know, post something, I'm like, "Oh, now delete that," or "I'm going to crop that differently," or whatever. Because, yes, I do want to frame my reality in a certain way. I don't, to me, that's not being deceptive. That's saying, this is the way I choose to see the world, and I want to show you in these physical pictures, this is how I see it. And because that's how I see it, that's what it becomes. I had a roommate in college one time, and he said, "You just believe," this is back when we, you know, talking about the word all the time, he said, "You just believe the word because everything works out good for you." I said, "No, everything works out good for me because I believe the word. You're putting the cart before the horse." And it doesn't mean I don't have battles and stuff. Honestly, not so much anymore. I mean, there's this whole other piece, you know, that in Proverbs says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with it. And I don't really live in contention anymore. Like, somebody that I know posted a thing, a really nasty thing from some Christian about them being gay. And the person was posting it to say, this is why we still need gay pride. And his point was valid. He may be watching this morning. But he tagged me in it, and he said, I'm sure you've gotten this and much worse. And what I wrote him back, I said, not in recent years. I mean, it kind of tapered off and ended a few years ago. I don't know if my enemies are dying quicker. I don't know if, like, as soon as they write it, they just drop dead, or because it used to take them a few months to die. Now it's like maybe they're just dropping dead immediately and they quit it. I don't know. No, I'm joking. Not really. What I think it is I always say to you, when you stop bleeding, you stop attracting the sharks. And I mean, if I got some horrible hate mail today, it definitely would be a negative thing. It's not like I, you know, would think it's a good thing. It's just that it doesn't happen to me anymore. I don't live in that contention. Like the all the tribalism and all that stuff, even when I say my political piece or whatever, I'm not against people who have a different viewpoint. I think, well, you know, maybe if I was you, I would see the world that the way that you see it, and you know, we've got a two-party system in theory, and you know, people have different points of view. Okay, I don't have to go around proving myself all the time, and I've learned that. That's why, you know, last year when all the stuff was happening, not just with the George Floyd thing, but with all the killings that happened. Yesterday was the year anniversary of Rashad Aubrey, the guy that was killed at the Wendy's here in Atlanta. And what I learned through that whole thing is, and a lot of white people took me to task over this, because I said, you know, if you had asked me 5, 6, 10 years ago if I'm racist, I would say, hell no, I'm not racist. And I would immediately defend my pedigree of what, I can tell you why I'm not racist. Now I'm to a place where I say, man, I hope not. I don't think I am. But if I've got some blind spots that I need to be illuminated on, I'm open to that. And it's actually a better place to live. It's like, I think anybody who knows me obviously knows I'm not. But there's something about just the defiance of saying, I'm not racist. I think, yeah, you probably are. The fact that you're that mad about it. It's like on the news, there was some yearbook for a high school that they wouldn't put it out because one of the ads says Black Lives Matter. And there were people who said you didn't allow an opposing viewpoint like All Lives Matter or Blue Lives Matter. And I thought, that's not an opposing viewpoint. The opposing viewpoint to Black Lives Matter is that Black Lives don't matter. So if you want equal time, you would have to buy an ad that says they don't matter. Because saying All Lives Matter is a different thing. It has nothing to do with... It'd be like Jesus, when he said, blessed are the poor. Somebody saying, yeah, no, Jesus, blessed are everybody. Like, no, you're missing the point. Idiot. Did I say that out loud? It's what I was thinking. Anyway, I mean, I got to love the idiots too. You know, God loves them. Idiots are included in all of it. God bless them. I just don't want to talk to them and hear from them all the time. So whatever and whoever you need to make peace with, if it be possible, make peace with it. Find a way to not just go through your life in contention all the time. It's exhausting. It's exhausting to always be at somebody. I don't know how people live in it. I just don't know how they live in it. Remember all the things that I announced, especially next week at the movement. Please put July 3rd on your calendar. If you don't know what's going on, contact me or contact Avery and get on the... She's put these out every week for 7 years. This email that you get tells you everything that you need to know. People say, I didn't know. I'm like, I need to put you on the email list. Oh, is that where the information is? Yes. Like, it's been every week for 7 years. So get on the email list and everything you need to know will be listed there. She puts a lot into it. There's links to stuff. Any question that you have, it's all answered on those. So you get on those shout outs, okay? I just speak goodness into your life and wellness and wholeness and blessedness and perspective and the ability to see things in a different way and let stuff go. Being it overcome with evil, overcome evil with good. Stop trying to vindicate yourself all the time. Let go and let God. I'm not saying you can't. There's a time to speak up for yourself. I get that. Just don't pull it into a different energy. Stay up high. Stay up high. And I can tell you this. I live in a world where I am overtaken by so many blessings in any day of the week that you name. Everyone that comes, I'm like, okay, thank you. And, you know, I'm wondering if that's connected to something. It's kind of like that in the song and the Sound of Music when Maria and Captain Von Trapp finally admit to each other that they are in love with each other. And it's a beautiful Rodgers and Hammerstein song. Somewhere in my youth or childhood, I must have done something good to deserve this. So believe that you deserve good stuff and good stuff will come to you. It just will. And you'll just go through your life going, thank you. Thank you. Ken and I, we say it all the time. Like any time we walk in, drive up to a place and we just have a good parking space, we'll just say, look at God. Won't he do it? You say, well, that's just a parking space. Well, we choose to see it that way. And that's why we live this amazing, magical, charmed, blessed life. And you can too. There's enough to go around. You just have to change your perspective. And I think Doug, I don't know if Doug's still on, but Doug Wentz had posted something about me today. I haven't read it yet. He was posting about something that he had said about me in a teaching. The guy's freaking brilliant. But he said, he called me, I believe the phrase was a master manifester. And I thought, yeah, master manifester. Yes, I want to get a t-shirt printed out. I am a master manifester. abracadabra. It's a Aramaic term for I believe or I create as I speak, is what it means. Love that stuff. All right, if you want to support, I'll tell you this. I haven't decided about the theater yet, but if we were to go back to every week, the giving would have to, it would have to go up. I'm okay personally. I haven't missed a paycheck, but to pay the rent on the place and the insurance, pay the tech team and pay the musicians and all the stuff that we do, the giving would have to go up. And it probably would. Like if we decided to do it, the giving would meet the decision. If it matters that much to you, then support Metron. Or if you want to give to me directly, you can do it. You just won't get tax credit for it. It's totally up to you. I'm blessed one way or the other, and I love when I hear from you. Now I'm going to read your comments. I love your comments. This hour of the week is very special with me, and I love your feedback. I never take for granted that you show up every week and hear what I have to say, and I believe that it's going to make a positive difference in your life. You're going to have a beautiful day. You're going to have a beautiful week. And I hope to see many of you next Sunday morning in Covington. I love you. Bye.